pray. Words of the Bible, the word of God has been proclaimed. And by grace, and only by grace, this church has allowed me and allowed the sermon to be preached as the word of God. So, gracious God, may we come before you and stand under your authority. And may we hear your words, not my words, but your words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's lovely to see you all. My name is David Sung Jun Kim, just in case you don't know me. So, can you imagine the disappointment that the disciples had? After a whole night's fishing, they've caught nothing. Why persist? Why persist through the whole night? Are you, some of you fishermen? Yeah. So some of you fishermen and women, would nod away in approval. Yeah, that's fishing. You know, you keep at it. Yeah. People like me would shake my head in disbelief. You know, dear God, what are you on about? Well, sometimes our modern conveniences, comforts, luxury, and leisure associated with fishing domesticates the roughness and shocking reality that Scripture confronts us with. Just imagine the exhaustion of whole nights fishing. The physical work of not casting a fishing rod, but casting and hauling in of heavy, heavy nets. It was 2,000 years ago, right? The physical work of, one after the other, empty net after empty net, each useless, inefficient, wasteful throwing and gathering of the net, the impatience and frustration builds up to hopelessness and defeat. What do you see? Do you see disappointment? No, to keep at this the whole night, we see desperation. We see desperation. You see, the political and religious authorities for some time had tried to kill Jesus. To the political regime, Jesus was a political threat to the regime's stability. To the religious authorities, Jesus was a religious blasphemer. At the end, they were successful in killing him by crucifixion, a clear public visual deterrent to those who may consider following in his footsteps. Despite his death, once again, the political and religious authorities are under threat. The rumors of sightings of Jesus risen from the dead is growing. They even bribed the guards who witnessed the rolling away of the stone to keep quiet and lie that Jesus' followers stole the corpse. The rumor must be stamped out. You see, the tension is unbearable and real. Under threat, the disciples of Jesus locked themselves away in a room, driven by hunger, concerned for survival. Peter and his friends take risk to make ends meet, to eat. They do this by taking refuge in the cover of darkness. Now, having exhausted their practical wisdom, all the tricks in the book, having overspent their energy, resources, their cover of darkness is broken by the coming light. And they are returning to shore to go back to the locked room. This is the reality that the first disciples, our ancestors of faith, faced. Making ends meet, living to survive under threat of death. Who can blame them? Who can blame them for hiding in a room, hiding under darkness? If the scripture is anything to go by, this world feels threatened by resurrection. And our lives are on the line for proclaiming the Lord's death and his resurrection, that he is alive. Proclamation of Jesus' resurrection is a dangerous business, people. Perhaps we should tone it down a bit, avoid it, explain it away, and live as though the religious and political authorities are right. You know, that indeed it has been a lie all along. Just a fable. The wall of reality, threat to our existence, is too great, isn't it? It towers over us, dwarfing us, dwarfing our ancestor Peter and his friends 2,000 years ago and us today. Do you feel dwarfed by reality? Do you feel like locking yourself away, hiding yourself in the security of darkness? Well, it's like being in the city, isn't it? And you know very well this church being in the center of the city. It's a jungle out there. I've got a picture to illustrate. I don't know how clear that is. Can you see? High-rise buildings towering over you, Sky Tower, Rendezvous Hotel, HSBC Tower dwarfing you. The very visible symbols of human ingenuity, solution to problems, power, influence, and respectability. The very symbols of systems and structures that we take as the things they are. And all of us have to negotiate our life in it. This is the reality. The reality of the rich become richer, the poor become poorer. The reality of what, I hope your name isn't mentioned in this, Panama paper. Reality of human wisdom. When standing next to this reality, when looking at the church, and I hope to illustrate with this picture, when standing next to this reality, when looking at the church standing alongside the forest of high rises, we do look very, very small and insignificant and even irrelevant. It's a jungle out there. It's dangerous. Face the reality and accept it. These are dangerous times for church survival. Don't go out there. Lest you face ridicule once they find out you're a Christian. Lest you face hostile stare when you refuse to accept the norms that are contrary to the gospel. Lest you face cold indifference when you try to live the life of the kingdom of God. If you must, pad up. Take lots and lots of time to prepare for your safety, security, well-being. Check and double check and triple check that you have covered everything. Ensure your belongings, your life, survival of your family and church depends on it. But why bother going out in the first place? Keep the germs out. Keep the poison out. Keep yourselves healthy and safe. Be wise. Be wise and manage to survive and preserve yourselves in these difficult times. In fact, in the name of health and safety, don't climb that tree. Don't climb that tree, lest you fall and meet the entanglements of legal and financial vines and meet your end down in the undergrowth of the urban jungle. Who can blame us? It's understandable. In this environment, for both Peter and his friends and us, the dangers seem to outweigh the adventure. Faced with a wall of peril, our life and lifestyle seem too precious to toy with. Will you risk your life, your church's life and lifestyle, following Jesus out in the urban jungle? No wonder Peter takes exception to Jesus when he is asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" They just had breakfast. You know, when you go out and have breakfast in a cafe, a nice cafe, in a morning like this when it's wet and damp by the fire, you know, that satisfying feeling. Well, they had it. They just had breakfast. Being full, especially after exhausting night, the fire is ever so inviting. Right in front of Peter's eyes are food that will keep him and his community to go on protecting and preserving themselves and preserving their way of life against the powers and principalities that threaten their end. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? The reality of life, the necessities for survival, the boat, the net, the rugged hands that know how to row, how to haul in heavy nets to make ends meet, which he had learned from his father, from his father's father. Yes, these the very marks that identify Simon, son of John. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? These, Jesus, the very things that kept my life and my community's life, my family's life, the very things that make who I am? Isn't this rather arbitrary, irrational? Are you not being unreasonable here? Is this not what we would condemn as fideism, blind faith? Jesus asks us, whatever marks your identity, whatever is considered as reality and a necessity to your life, your lifestyle, do you love me more than these? In silence of your heart, won't you please offer Jesus your honest response? Just take a moment. For the rest of the sermon, engage with this as you earnestly wait to hear his response to you. So, is Jesus arbitrary? You see, unbeknownst to Peter and his friends, unbeknownst to us, God is up to something. Something radical, something that is reality altering, reality transforming. How we see and understand as reality must change. Unbeknownst to us, the reality of the kingdom of God is breaking in. And I want you to take note of that word, breaking in. Yes, as Jesus said, that the kingdom of God will come upon us as a thief in the night. The reason Jesus breaks in to our very human condition and from inside out redeems and transforms it. New wineskin for new wine is his catchphrase. Isn't that interesting that Jesus will break in? Thank you, Lord, for breaking in, because we are so stubborn at times. Piercing through the layers of systems and structures that reduce us to victims to be protected, and deeming life and lifestyle far too precious to be risked, but to be preserved. To this, Jesus breaks in. Have you noticed the resemblance of this story to the story of creation in Genesis? Have you seen the sign of the new kingdom, new creation brewing underneath? In the beginning, when God created the universe, in the darkness of the formless earth, the Spirit of God hovered over water. Here in Tiberias, over the waters of Peter and his friends, the reality as they know it, the Spirit of God hovers over. Here in Vincent Street, Auckland, the Spirit of God hovers over. In the beginning, God's word was spoken. The word of God, who is God, let there be light. And there was light. Over the water of Tiberias, the very place where the disciples believed to be their life or death reality, now the word made flesh. Jesus crucified and risen, the light of the world breaks in the dawn, ending the darkness of the night, turning it into day, a new day, turning the boat of the desperate disciples to return to the shore, to return to Jesus. God is at work. God is at work. As he was at work in creation. Just as in creation, God speaks. The resurrected Jesus speaks into reality a new creation. He calls the desperate disciples, making ends meet, working in the cover of darkness. He calls out, children. Just as in creation, children of the light. Children of God in Jesus, the light of the world, you, church in Vincent Street in Auckland, new creation. This is where the kingdom of God and human kingdom meet, face to face. Human wisdom, autonomy, human independence, absolute freedom, encounter utter dependence. The wisdom of God. Human dependence on our structures and systems meets face to face with God, the potter, who has dirtied his hands in the dirt of creation. In fact, God, who became flesh, sweat, and blood. Will the disciples respond? Will they trust and obey? Would they be transformed as in new creation, as in being born again, as in children of the light? utterly dependent on the one who names them as his own. Exhausted of their resources, they cast again according to his creation words. In the beginning, God said, "Let the waters teem with fish and life." Do you know what happened next? They couldn't haul in the biggest catch in their life. Now their eyes are open. They now see the new reality and call out, "It is the Lord. Lord of creation, Lord of life and resurrection over death, is the Lord of the church. All that sustains us is gift to humanity from God. It is never fruit of human work, never our right. Even our survival then is God's gift. Even that reality which we call death, which make us in fear scramble to protect, ensure, plan for our survival, is nothing to be feared. Jesus has brought death to death itself. Take heart. Be encouraged. This is your Lord. Lord of creation. Lord of new creation. And God is up to something. Hovering over ACPC, Vincent Street. It is to this new creation reality that Jesus commands us, commands you to follow him and to feed his lamb in the city. This new reality, the risen Jesus has created, where the truth of his words are made real. First strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be given unto you. So let this be our single focus, to feed his lamb. Feed the hungry and clothe the naked, as Jesus fed fish and bread to the 5,000, and to feed them the bread of life. Whose bread of life? Who is bread of life? Your Lord. Feed the people, your Lord. Because of this, we live by the economy of abundance to follow Jesus and feed his lamb. See, this is no other than an invitation to an adventure. To enter the urban jungle where Jesus himself is today. To enter the urban jungle which is full of dangers. We become vulnerable to the elements, and in our giving and sharing, we may even go hungry. But this is the witness to the Lord of resurrection. This world, this reality is not the final word. Sure, we don't go out looking for danger. That would be silly. But at the same time, it wouldn't be an adventure without one, would it? We make ourselves, the church makes herself vulnerable because of our love for him who loves the world. Children, you are new creation. Let that sink deeply and lodge in your heart. You are new creation. I love that word of Anne Dillard, wasn't it? Yeah. Sometimes we live like, let's bring crash helmets to church. You are new creation. So Holy Spirit has given you a new vision in Christ, the resurrection vision, to pierce through the layers of the manipulation of death. So no longer can we see reality as we see them before. Pitting high-rise buildings alongside the cross, towering over and dwarfing the cross, as if this world's reality is what defines our reality. No, we are to see all reality through the cross now. We are to always stay close to Jesus. We are to stay close at the foot of the cross, looking up into the heaven from which Jesus promises come and take us home. We are to see through the cross to see the pressures of reality of life. And I hope this picture will demonstrate that. We are to see through the cross to see the pressures of reality of life. Because then everything looks different. When you're so close to the foot of the cross, and when you're looking up through the cross, the urban jungle doesn't look so daunting anymore. Does it? In fact, it is very subversive. Very subversive. The cross of Jesus, the very love of God. I don't know if you can see it, but just see it and study it. It's almost as if Christ is embracing the whole world. When the structures and systems of our urban jungle advise the church, in the name of health and safety, lock yourselves behind your church doors. Jesus Christ, Lord of new creation, Lord of church in Vincent Street, Auckland, commands you, not in the name of health and safety, but in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go climb that damn tree. Go and feed my lamb. Amen. I have a slide and a song for you to reflect on. So just take your time.
If today solitary vision till I